What a blessing that was. That took me off guard there to see Miss Sybil get up here and sing like that. And you're never too old to where you can't serve the Lord. As long as you have breath in your lungs, then God has a purpose for your life. And what a blessing that was for me to see Miss Sybil get up here and sing with her son. And Miss Sybil has had a lifetime of ministering in music. I mean, her family traveled much. She sang with her family and groups. It's just a tremendous blessing to see her still able to get up and sing praises unto the Lord. What a blessing that was. Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. On Sunday nights, a few weeks now, we've been studying on a series that I've put together and on the idea of stress, something that everyone deals with. Some deal with it better than others. And we wanted to just to see what the Bible has to say about this. And the first thing you have to do is understand the roots of stress. And it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. They were given a stress-free environment. The only stress-free environment we have now is going to be heaven. Amen? Because if you're there, there's stress is present. Amen. Every one of us. Because we find that the stress came with the fall of man. The root of stress is a sin nature. It's within us. And different people deal with it in different ways. But it's not a virus, it's not a germ, it's not contagious, it's something that you're born with. And it's that sin nature. Stress, the root of stress comes from that sin nature. And we find that not only has God dealt with Adam and Eve and how they lived before this fall of man and then how that they lived after the sin nature and the stress of life, they didn't look at themselves the same. They didn't look at each other. They didn't look to God. They wanted to blame everything on somebody else. All the different things that came from that sinful nature that actually produced the stress in their lives. And so the root of that is, no doubt, that sin nature. And then we went on and they passed it on down with Cain and Abel. And we find what happened and how God directed Cain that he could have the peace that Abel had if he would just do what Abel did. Amen. And there was much there. There was so much there. We studied that for a couple weeks and just looking at that and how God said to face it, how he tried to help Cain to face the stress. And when Cain turned from how God told him to handle it, it became even more stressful to the place where he even killed his brother Abel. And then he would live out the rest of his life in a worse stress than ever before. And then he would go on to go to an eternal lake of fire where there is no peace and no calm. It is a place of eternal torment. And that's the one thing that everyone ought to want to avoid, and that is to go into an eternal place of stress. Amen? And the only way to do that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But because of that, we have a new nature. That means that we have what it's going to take to overcome and to actually even benefit from the stress that's in our lives. The more you yield to that new nature, and that's the nature of God, the more you will overcome that stress coming from the root of the sin nature. It will change your thinking. It will change your processing of things. As you have, all of us are going to have trials, and we're all going to have our own burdens to bear. Some have harder burdens than others, but everyone has burdens to bear. It's how you process it, how you focus on it, how you think as you're going through that is going to determine how you deal with that stress and whether you overcome it or it overcomes you. Amen. And so I trust that we've been able to establish that foundation as far as the root of stress. And now we're going to be looking at some biblical examples. You'll not find the word stress in the Bible, but you'll find the word distress throughout the Scriptures. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight as one of the accounts of distress. And so if you'll stand with me, Genesis chapter 42, we're going to be reading verse 18 down to verse 28. Most everyone here would understand the story of Joseph, and he is now over Egypt. He is Pharaoh's right-hand man. He's the one that's calling the shots, and his brothers come to him. And by design, God was working here. And we find this in chapter 42 of Genesis, and let's start reading in verse 18. And Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison, and go ye and carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die." And they did so. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provisions for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provident. You see it. Read it yourself. Provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, "My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack." And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, "What is this that God hath done unto us?" Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for what we've already experienced, just being in church tonight. What a blessing. But now as we've opened up the precious Word of God, as we're focused on this story of Joseph and his brothers, I just pray, God, that we would be able to learn from this passage of Scripture that which would help us in dealing with possibly the stress in our own lives. Bless now the preaching of thy Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find here, and again, this is just a section of the story of Joseph and his brothers and all that took place there in Egypt. But Joseph's brothers were facing, at this time, distress. The definition of distress is a state of extreme stress. State of extreme stress. Anybody in here ever been in distress? Yeah, you might be in distress tonight. I don't know. But if not, it's coming. It's coming. I guarantee you that. 28 years earlier, Joseph had been sold into slavery by his own brothers. And his brothers told Jacob, their father, by presenting to him his coat of many colors that he had made for Joseph, covered in blood, they presented that Joseph was dead. Made it seem as if some kind of a wild animal had attacked and devoured Joseph, and all that was left of him was this coat covered in blood. Jacob carried the seed line of Christ. He carried with him the promise of God's covenant that God had made with Abraham, and how that he had promised Abraham that through his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. So now it's Jacob and his 12 children, the 12 tribes of Israel, which two would be his grandchildren. But the 12 tribes of Israel is what we're looking at here. God had a purpose for Jacob, and God had a purpose for each one of his sons. For 28 years, Satan would have a victory over Jacob and his family. For these 28 years, they had almost stood still. There was no spiritual victories in their lives. There was oppression over Jacob and his sons, to the place where even the land was somewhat cursed, and there was a drought, and there was no food in the land, which led them to have to go to Egypt to find feed to keep the cattle and their stock alive. For 28 years, there was victory. Satan had a victory over Jacob and his family. Spiritual oppression. No spiritual progress in carrying the seed of Christ and the promise covenant of God. 28 years. On the other hand, Joseph, the one who started out with all the stress, how stressful would it be if your brothers beat you up and threw you in a ditch and was going to kill you, but ended up desiring to make money off of you and sold you into slavery? Joseph was experienced much for these last 28 years. Even though facing many trials, he made right decisions in facing everything that could have been destructive to him. If he would have let that situation with his brothers cause him the stress of being sold into slavery, if he would have allowed that and Satan to use that, he could have been destroyed. He would not have been able to prosper as he did. But in every one of the trials that we find that God allowed Joseph to go through, he looked to God. And he looked to God for God's strength and his help to overcome the circumstances and the stresses of life. And he prospered. What a great story. I mean, I don't have time to go into all of it, but the idea there is, while Jacob was an innocent victim of what had taken place, because of what had taken place, the stress was overcoming him. Because, if you will, he understood the Abrahamic covenant. He understood that he was supposed to be blessed by God. How could I be blessed by God if my child was killed by a wild animal? How, God, could you let that happen when I know that you're supposed to bless my seed? And so there was some bitterness, no doubt, in Jacob's heart and mind. And there was no spiritual growth because of the bitterness, because of all the things that he was facing. I don't know. The Bible doesn't, it's pretty silent during those years as far as Jacob's concerned. And even the brothers are concerned. Until we get to the account that we've been reading. Now it would be time for God to unite the family of Jacob. Because ultimately, God is going to have his way. Ultimately, whatever God prophesied that would come to pass, it's going to come to pass. God always wins. I love that. Amen. Thank you, choir, for that. God always wins. If you want to be on the winning side, be on the side that God's on. In every situation of life. No matter what you're facing, be on God's side. Amen. But now it would be time, 28 years later, God had worked in Joseph's life and God had positioned him now. He is over Egypt. He's the right hand to the Pharaoh over Egypt. No decisions are being made without going through Joseph. I mean, that in itself is just an amazing story if you understand that. And his brothers come to him. As God would now put this, unite this family of Jacob, he would work through or use stress in their lives. I don't believe this was Joseph's plan to do what he did to his brothers. I believe Joseph understood, and it is written down, it's proven through history, that God blessed Joseph, and Joseph understood. Even when Pharaoh called him, he did not take credit for being able to interpret dreams. He gave the glory to God. He was not a man that was bent on revenge. He was a man bent on serving God. And it was God going to work through Joseph to be able to unite his family. And so we find here that God would use and work through stress that would come into their lives. They were forced to face their past. Verse 21 and 22. And they said one to another, Joseph, this was designed in what Joseph told them they had to do. He called them, you're spies. If you want to prove you're innocent, you have to do these things. Designed by God. And Joseph was just telling them what God would have told him to tell them and how he was going to work this out. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us? 28 years, it's like it was yesterday. Can I tell you, it was something that haunted their conscience. Even though they possibly had not spoke of it for these 28 years, it still haunted every one of them. They still remembered the very looks of Joseph, how he looked to them, how their eyes made contact with his eyes. They remembered exactly how he pleaded to them not to do this thing. For 28 years. Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you? He's reliving it all himself. Spake I not unto you? Do not sin against this child. And you would not hear, therefore behold, also his blood. They still believe he's dead. Or sold in slavery. They just expected him to be killed or die in some kind of a slave camp. His blood is required. God, through Joseph, was forcing them to face their past. Something that everyone needs to do. Because stress comes within. And only God knows you better than you know yourself, but you do know yourself. You were there every time you committed any sin. You were there every time anyone sinned against you. You were there in every experience of your life, and every moment of your past experiences are stored in this computer called a brain. Much of it stored in a subconscious where you cannot go into it and bring it out on demand. It comes out sometimes when you're sleeping. It might come out other times when something reminds you of a certain thing of the past. And then it'll flash in your mind because it's in your subconscious. It's there. And the one thing about the subconscious is possibly the closest thing we know of to the spiritual realm of things. And Satan has access to all past history. He doesn't know the future. He does not know how you're going to respond except for how you responded in the past. And many times he knows that you'll continue to respond the very same way. That's why he comes back at you with the very same temptations. That subconscious mind is the closest thing that we can understand to the spiritual realm of things, to be able to have any kind of connection with a different dimension. Heaven is not beyond space. Heaven is a different dimension. And the closest thing we have to it is our subconscious. How God designed the brain, that goes beyond any kind of human understanding. But God, through Joseph, was forcing them to face their past. You say, how do you know God? Look in verse 18. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. They're probably getting about their eyes about that. You know the God of Israel? You're aware of the Creator God? You don't have other gods, the gods of the Egyptians? You're aware of our God? Then in verse 28, what is this that God hath done unto us? God was working through Joseph, and they would even eventually understand this. Joseph knew that. Philippians in chapter 3, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want you to turn there because now we're bringing it to us here today. They were forced to face their past because if Israel was going to be united, if Jacob was going to be united with his sons and they would eventually be the 12 tribes of Israel, they would have to be united. And so what God did, the very first thing when he decided now it was time to work this out, was time to bring his plan together, what did Joseph, through design, have them to do? They were forced to face their past and what they did that had haunted them now for 28 years to their brother. Philippians in chapter 3. The book of Philippians in chapter 3, again, a very familiar passage, but verse 13, Paul says here, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. We need to be looking forward and be able to accomplish what God has for us, the things that we can still do something about. But before we can press toward, we must face the past and put it behind us. If you try to put it behind you without facing it as God would have you to face it and learn from it what God would have you to learn from it, God did not cause everything to happen, but he allowed things to happen in your life. And if he allowed them, there's something to learn from it. And as you look back to the past, you need to make sure that you have faced it to the place that you understand it as God sees it, and you've learned what God had for you to learn from it. And then once you have done that, then you can put it behind you because Satan can't use it against you. Amen. Until you have dealt with it as God would have you to deal with it, Satan will continue to use it to hinder you from ever going forward in your spiritual accomplishments. You cannot go forward as God would have you to go forward until you put the past behind you. You can't put the past behind you until you have faced it. Amen. Whew. The brothers would have to tell their father, Jacob, the truth. They should have done that 28 years earlier. Maybe 27, for sure by 26. It was haunting them. Can you really put murder behind you? Can you really put deceiving your father as to God allowed an animal to kill your son that has caused him grief, that caused him to stop growing in his own spiritual life because of what he wrongfully believed? Because my sons would not lie to me about their younger brother. And as he wrongfully believed their lies, he lived
for 28 years believing the lies of the devil, and because he believed the lies of the devil, he did not prosper in his spiritual growth. Innocent victim, but a victim. Face your past. Do not allow any sin or fear to stay hidden in your conscience. If you remember, stress comes from within. It's important that we understand that. Stress does not come from without. It is not contagious. It does not come from the things that you're facing. It comes from within. The things you're facing brings it up, but it comes from within. The things you're facing, Satan will use it to destroy, or God can use it, if you deal with it properly, to grow. Satan will continue to use it as long as you allow him to use it. In my counseling of those that have had troubled past, many were still fearful of something that could not happen today. They kept reliving what happened when they was a child. And because they never faced it and dealt with it as God would have them to deal with it, Satan continued to keep them in that very same fear that they had when they were a child, something that could not happen today because you're not a child. But if you allow it to happen, it's in your subconscious mind, and the fear will stay there. Even though it's something that you don't have to fear, you're subconscious, because you've not dealt with it, you don't understand that, and the fear is still within you, and that fear comes out when you deal with stress and whatever it might be, and how you deal with it, how you face it. That sin comes back to haunt you. I see it. I seen it in his eyes. He begged us, and we went ahead and sold him into slavery. If it would have went on, they could have said, when we went back and we told Dad and showed him the coat, knowing that he would think that his son had been killed by a wild animal, did you see life come out of him? Did you see the distress in his face? Did you see the hurt? Did you see what it did to him? They would have that in their memory. 28 years. 28 years. Wow. We are very guilty. That's what they said. When they were forced to remember it, we are very guilty. And it's haunted us for 28 years. If we continue, and we have to go back and understand. This is just trying to help you to understand that we need to face our past. That's what we're looking at. In dealing with the stresses of life, we have to be able to deal with our past so that we'll be able to handle things in the right way. They would also need to confess and forsake their sin. This stress now, they're in distress because they've not faced and confessed and forsaken their sin. A failure to do what would have been right to do 28 years ago. Proverbs in chapter 28, this is something that is so true. And I use these verses from time to time because it's something that we have to be mindful of, even if it was 28 years ago. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. 28 years they've been covering it. 28 years. They failed to prosper. They were the children of Jacob who carried the covenant with an almighty creator God. And they failed to prosper. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You see, the first thing you have to do, it says confess and forsake, express sorrow for your sin. If I had to do over again, that sorrow is forsaking it, saying, I never want to do it again. It's not, I'm sorry that I got caught, and now I got to face it, so I guess I need, no. It's saying, I want to forsake it. I never want to be guilty of that sin ever again. Confessing is saying, I'm guilty. Their hearts right now, they have shown a sorrow because they admitted they're guilty, and that sorrow would be, I wish we had it all to do over again. We would not do it again. Express sorrow for that sin. Own responsibility. Ask for forgiveness with no expectations in return. Well, I forgive you. Now you have to forgive me. You have to let me get back into your life, and you have to have this, and you have to listen to me. Is that really confessing and forsaking and asking for forgiveness when you're putting demands on the person that you're asking to forgive you? No. We have to look and ask for forgiveness, but understand it's undeserved. It's unmerited. Just like salvation. It's the love and kindness of God, His grace that saves us, not because we deserve it. It's unmerited favor. Yeah. We confess and forsake, first of all, to God. Our sins are against God first and foremost. He's the one that gives us life. And then to Jacob, the one, the innocent that were hurt by our sins, and to Joseph, if it were possible, making right what we have wronged, if it were possible. Now, in that, let me just add this. We should not confess our sins to someone who would not be helped by our confession. Do not hurt others trying to rid yourself of guilt. I got a letter, and I know that whoever wrote it, they just wouldn't put it on there, but they wrote it anonymously, and they said, you know, Pastor, we've just seen your television program, and I've been blessed by it. I've been helped, and I've learned so much. He said, no matter what everyone else is saying about you, I believe you to be a man of God. Everybody else saying about me? That was not a help to me. They had wrong thoughts of me. And they knew that, and they needed to confess those thoughts because they were not based on reality. They didn't need to confess that to me. Sometimes we're guilty because of all these negative, evil thoughts we've had about somebody else, and to rid ourselves of the guilt, we want to go up and say, I need to ask your forgiveness. What do you need? For all the evil things I've been thinking about you for the 20 years I've known you. And they walk away thinking, boy, now I feel so much better. And the other person's saying, you've had those thoughts for 20 years? Who else thinks that way? Listen to me. If we don't confess our sins to others, no matter if you sinned against them, if it's not going to benefit them, Don't do it just to rid yourself of guilt. No, if they don't know about it, they don't need to know about it. Confess it to God. But confess it. Lastly, look to God for His help. Joseph wanted his brothers to look to God and not him. Very end, Genesis chapter 50. They still didn't quite get this. They thought after Jacob died that now Joseph would be freed to torture them. That was not God's plan to bring this family together and allow them to grow under the protection of the Egyptian army into a mighty nation that God would use. And Joseph knew that. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19, the Bible says, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Look, don't look at me. God is the one that pardoned you. God is the one that forgave you. God is the one that brought you here. God is the one that is blessing you and blessing our family." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." So face it with your knowledge of God and His promises to you. No matter what it was, you have to go back and realize, no, God didn't. He didn't want you to suffer, and He didn't want you to go through that. But God has to allow man to sin. And anytime God allows man to sin, a man's sin will affect others. God has to allow it, but one promise that you'll have in that, God will work through it if you'll look to Him for something good to come out of it. For all things work together for good. Amen. To those who know Him, to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And if you have that knowledge, you realize the devil's the enemy. No matter who God he worked through, it was the devil who was the enemy. And God had to allow it because He has to allow man to sin. But God can help you when you look to Him. Face it with your knowledge of God and His promises. Whether guilty of sin like Joseph's brothers or an innocent person like Joseph and Jacob, being impacted by other sins. Joseph was innocent. Jacob was innocent. But they looked to God. Jacob would finally look to God once he understood and got the truth and based his thinking on truth. And he became the man God wanted him to become in the last part of his life in molding his sons. Face it with your knowledge of God and His promises, even if you're the innocent. The help in facing stress, because it comes from within, is found in looking to God for His help. Psalms 118, we'll close with this. Psalms chapter 118. Goes right along with our message this morning. Psalms 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. There's never been a time, never will be a time when God is not good. No matter what you go through, there's never been a time, never will be a time that God is not good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy is always available. His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. Do you understand that? I called upon the Lord when I was in a state of extreme stress. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The help, whether the guilt or the innocent, you deal with stress by looking to God with the knowledge of who He is and His promises to us. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Some have more for Satan to use in their past, but you deal with it the same way. You deal with it the same way. You have to face it before you can ever put it behind you. And you can never go forward in accomplishing all that God would have you to accomplish until you have put behind you the past. Father, we bow before you now. We love you and we thank you for this truth and this example of Joseph and his brothers and even Jacob. And God, how we just seen your hand working in that and even working through the stress and the distresses of life, brought this family to where you wanted them to be, where they would become the 12 tribes of Israel, which gives us hope. And I pray, God, that we would learn from this and be strengthened as we face the stress in our own lives. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.